Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who wants to know what's harder, playing Big Brother or watching 3 weeks of Celebrity Big Brother. I am Rob Cisternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome to our finale coverage. Congratulations, Misha. Was the unpredictable finale that nobody saw coming. Misha defeated Todrick 7-1. Here to talk about it here tonight, we have the most glamorous podcast panel ever assembled here tonight. First, we have back with us, she is the voice of the people. She's fired up. It's Melissa Denny. Melissa, how are you?
I'm doing really, I don't know. I feel like I will say that I noticed this as the votes were being put in the little keyholes. Yeah. I was like, my heart was like pounding. And I was like, why is my heart pounding? I mean, we kind of already know the result. And even if it's the opposite result, like, do I really care? Like, I'm not really worked up, but I was getting worked up. I was like, oh my God, they're voting. What's happening? Like, I don't know. Like, it's just
sense memory.
Yeah, it's always exciting, the finale, just like the premiere is always exciting, no matter what's happening. So I did have a good time watching it. I do feel a little let down by the America's Favorite House Guest result. As much as I love Carson, mm-hmm. I really thought Shayna had it. And do two phones not do anything for us anymore? I mean, I'm voting on two phones every day. It means nothing, apparently.
The casuals turned out tonight.
They really did turn out for the
okay. Phone. All right. Of course, we always turn out for this man who just celebrated a birthday this week. Let's welcome back the great Pleas Amichili. Plea, how are you?
I am good. I am good. About as good as one can be after a lackluster one-hour finale. The show was stolen by another Big Brother franchise, mm-hmm. which we'll get to, of course, in this upcoming week. But as far as tonight goes, it was the outcome I expected. It was fine. There were some fun moments, but mostly it was there. I think this podcast is going to be way more fun than whatever the finale could have offered. So
no doubt.
We win regardless.
And let's welcome in a man who we owe all the congratulations, because he said back on draft night, he said, give me my two favorite players, Misha and Todrick. These are my ride or dies.
Wow.
Give me both of them. Here he is, the winner.
The goat is back, everyone. You can't stop me.
God, what have we done? Look what we've unleashed.
I won the biggest Survivor draft of all time. Mm-hmm. And I came back. And back, what did I back. Do? I had the most dominant draft win of all yep. time. Both of my players, only two players, but both of them in the final two. I won before the season even rang the bell.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
God, what have we done?
Yes. Okay.
This is going to haunt us for many seasons to come.
Ultimately, I have to ask myself that as well, because yes, I did it, but...
Did you do it?
Yes.
What did it cost?
Everything.
Yes.
Okay, Thanos Armstrong, relax. Relax over there.
It was inevitable. It was inevitable.
That's... He's probably been preparing this for weeks because he knew that this was going to be the final two for weeks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, those clips would have been wasted if there had been another outcome tonight. everybody yeah. should be happy.
I mean, this was a night really with no drama whatsoever, that it was like kind of obvious after the first question that Cynthia didn't have a shot to win this thing. They all started bombing all the questions. Nobody was getting anything right. We didn't get any jury questions here. It was very much a foregone conclusion. I think the only mystery was going to be America's favorite player, but here we are. So congratulations to Misha. A dominant win for Misha, not to take anything away from what she did this season. She was a, you know, true comp, just beasted through everything.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? I mean, that was Taryn's second pick. She actually fell. Taryn, I think you said on draft night that she's going to win comps.
Yep. I was really hoping that I don't remember who it was that picked somebody. It must have been
I think it was me. I think I took Teddy right before. I figured that Teddy is going to know how to play the game. I just thought that Misha was going to come in and all she was going to do was know how to win comps. Not a totally a wrong read.
Yeah. You know, comps are important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like this is one of the few wins, I think, that we can really boil down to competition, like competition wins. That's really what got her there. That's really what got her the win. And I think a lot of people voted for her because she won so many things and there really wasn't a chance for anybody to take hold in the game because she just constantly dominated competitions. I don't think we've seen this exact style of play very often win. I feel like a lot of the time it's like a combination of like comps and strategy, or it's mainly strategy, or sometimes it's nothing. But I don't think we usually see someone just like totally beast their way to the end and then just like pull it out.
Yeah. I will add, I mean, who knows how this season turns out. If Carson doesn't take out Shayna on his HOH, I mean, so I think you have to give some credit to Todrick for this outcome also, where had it not been for him, then him and Shayna don't get to the end unscathed. One of them probably goes out in that week. But once that happens, there was no looking back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, ultimately, it comes down to Todrick in that week. But since he won that veto, he would have been able to save Misha anyway. Mm-hmm. But it really was just like the cherry on top that they managed to get their biggest threat remaining in the game out by getting Shayna out instead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So, I don't know, is there anything to talk about from before we get to the bringing out the final, the jury back on the stage?
I mean, they missed, you already mentioned this, but they biffed this one comp. It was one comp tonight. And they I think all three of them missed at least two questions there. Complete lack of knowledge with two questions. It was, again, very lackluster. 3-1-1 for Misha. Mm-hmm. It was a bit of a dullard.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah. I mean, this was basically when they came out, they had the booths. It was basically like, okay, if Cynthia has any chance of winning this, it has to be something like What the Bleep. And then the second it was like, okay, so we're going to read three statements. I was like, congratulations. Good night. Misha. here we go. I have won the draft.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, let's just, I guess, start with, like, how frustrating was it that we sat through so much Big Brother in the last week? This is the fifth of six nights that we are live after an episode. There have been 7 hours of Celebrity Big Brother on in the last six nights.
Oh, my God.
And somehow we didn't have time to hear from the celebrities who came back and had them on the set. What the hell? Who thought this was a good plan?
This is what I ranted about last night, where I said, you know, this whole structure of the last week is terrible. Like, I do not need to see a live HOH comp on the finale night. Like, give that to us a few days before or whatever. And then, I mean, there's so many days that are airing Big Brother. Like, give that to us beforehand. Then you have, you dedicate time to jury questioning, actually, like, taped jury questions. So that way it's like, you, it's not just like read off the cue card. They can actually have a dialogue with the final two. I mean, why not? I don't know why they're not doing that. We've been over this every year. Like, they just are never going to change this format. And it's really unfortunate because it's doing a disservice to the finale. We want to see and hear from the previous house guests, especially when house guests are sequestered in jury and we can't hear from them. And then we finally get a chance to have them back on the stage, back in the mix. And then we get like some pre-tape or some live reading of like a random pre-picked question from production. It just, it's always, and this time we didn't even get that.
We didn't even get that.
I don't even know what they're even doing.
Right. I mean, I'll keep it a stack with you. I agree with everything you said. I would have taken a cue card question. I would have taken the only person in the Big Brother sphere that should be happy that there were no jury questions is Todrick. I wanted him to show his entire ass with every answer. And I wanted more eye rolls from Todd. I wanted more reaction from the jury. The cue cards would have delivered that. The fact that we didn't get that was criminal. And also, you know, justice for my guy, Chris Kattan, who like barely was there. I mean, don't bring him on. Don't make him travel at this point. If he's not even going to, he's going to be there for 20 seconds.
Well, Chris Kattan just showed up, right? They did not send the invite to Chris Kattan, but he was like, hey, I want to be here. Mm-hmm. And they're like, all right, on. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you know, they could have gotten the questions into. Okay, for whatever reason. Okay, we only have an hour tonight. The first segment was pointless. Of that talking to Cynthia, Todrick talking to Cynthia of, hey, and Cynthia, in case you win, you should take me. Like, we could have started like, all right, the final three is standing by. Let's go. Let's get to the HOH comp. I mean, they could have. They had 10 minutes that they wasted to open the show.
Right. I mean, it's like if it was a big drama of like, oh, they're both vying for Cynthia to take them, then it'd be like, okay, maybe, because then if it does come down to Cynthia, it could be very interesting to see what she ends up picking. But there was no big drama. It literally is just Todrick being like, I hope you pick me. And she's like, yeah, I will.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think I have a slightly different take on this, which is that this was the first finale in a while that we were 55 minutes in and I was like, oh, it's like almost over. I haven't been bored. I haven't felt like I wanted to fall asleep. Like it actually moved. And I appreciated that. And I do think that part of that is that we didn't spend a ton of time on like a jury roundtable and jury questions when they're just reading from cue cards. And instead we got right to it. They cast their votes and then we read the votes right after. That was awesome. And it made me think, you know, for me, I think I would rather not have questions if they're just going to be cue cards, because that doesn't give me anything. It really just makes me bored most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually think I prefer, if the questions are going to be terrible, don't even include them. It's a waste of my time.
I don't know. The one thing I like about it is that we do get to hear from the final two, like, if we get them actually talking about their game and like being able to express themselves,
but
then we
never
do.
When
I do feel like we've seen that before. Like we have seen that previously. Like, I don't know, maybe I'm just thinking back to Big Brother Canada or something, but like, I feel like we have seen them be able to kind of explain what they think their game was. And it is, some of the questions can be interesting. Some of the questions are not interesting, obviously, but like, and obviously I would prefer not pre-crafted questions from production, but like I do like to hear what they think their game was, like what they think their big move was, and then like how wrong they are or how well they recognize their game. And then you do feel one way or another about, you know, the winner. But obviously, like I tend to agree with you in some ways that like this finale was very fast, and sometimes I do get really bored during the finale, but I think that's like, that's more a problem with the finales themselves and the way they do the finales versus like this finale being really good or really like well done. I just think that like they're bad all around. Yeah. And I guess your point is like, well, at least they didn't have the super bad parts. So well, at least we got rid of that. And
what I would say is the worst part of the finale is part usually like they do part one like on another part. But like the part two of the HOH, I feel like, is often just like
nothing
25 minutes so of just dreck. This is like the first half hour of the show.
I'm glad they got rid of the part one, part two HOH thing. Like, just do a regular HOH and be done with it.
Mm-hmm. Right. And to go back to what you said initially, Rob, with the first segment, we didn't need it. In any other season, I will allow them. If they want to, you know, we had an episode 3 days ago. Here's the finale. Like, get a recap of maybe what might be happening. We literally had a 2 hour episode a day ago. Like, there was a double eviction and Todrick clearly did not want Cynthia on the block. So we already know their dynamic. We already know who she's probably going to lean on. That's why I don't think we needed that 10 minutes. That 10 minutes could have been inserted somewhere else. And the sheer fact that it wasn't, I don't love. I think to side agree with Taryn a little bit on this part in particular, given how much of a drag this season has been, was I happy that at 9 p.m. I could get up and leave? Yes, because we've been done with this. Yeah. But I think ultimately I can speak for a lot of people. Everyone wanted blood. All the machetes were sharpened. Everyone wanted Todrick to sweat it out and like to give his answers, even if the result was foregone. We wanted that moment. And unfortunately, we didn't really get that moment. But I'll tell you this, the celebrities did deliver with the one-liner. So at least we got something.
They did.
I do want to be clear. Like, I would have taken the entire hour just being a free for all where they're talking to Todrick. Like, that would have been the ideal. But we're never going to get that, especially on the celebrity edition.
Yeah, it's just so frustrating because the 2 hour episode that we had on Monday was such a nothing burger in itself. They wasted so much time on Monday. And then we get to Wednesday and it's like rush, 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 rush. Well, you had 2 hours on Monday and we did nothing. I could go back and look. We were talking about cauliflower ears. We talked about so many like pointless things.
Yeah.
Well, it's also like we don't need to see the house guests in the house for any longer. Like, you know what I mean? It's like there wasn't anything fun on the feed. So it's like, get vote them out already so that way we can just have a final two, have them answer the questions, like have a real situation and then do like a longer finale, like have that final HOH and kick out of Cynthia be on Monday, you know? And then that way it's like, well, we already know the final two, but who cares? Like we at least get to, we want to know the winner. Like it doesn't change anything to know the final two in advance.
Right.
Unless people are like, really rooting for Cynthia and they're like, if Cynthia is not in the final two, I'm out. I don't see that.
Nah, like whether it's a 3 week celebrity season or a 90 day regular season, once we get to final three, we've seen enough of these people as we need. We don't need any more of their in-house stuff. Move it to the dynamics with the jury. Move it to that area. That's what matters more than anything now. We don't care about the rest of that.
Then tell me if this is out of bounds. Cynthia got voted out tonight. Did we need to stop down and do the interview with Cynthia? I mean, that we spent more time on Cynthia, who I'm sure is lovely. I'm sure is a wonderful person, but was a complete nothing burger to the entire season. And I might even say a net negative in that she was right there with Carson, Thelma and Louise-ing this thing right off the cliff, that she was the only vote for Todrick in the end.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fully with you. I think that it's the sort of thing where had this been the Shayna of the season out in third place, you know, then we would have, that's the only thing we would have cared about.
But they knew, right? but they knew right. This was going to happen.
Like, I think the ultimate lesson here, that we've learned over the course of Big Brother's history is that, they are not flexible, over their production, and they, do not want to do any more work than they need to.
Right.
So they will streamline and strictly sort of adhere to their thing no matter what.
We spent more time talking to Cynthia than we did talking to the winner. I would love to see Julie sit down with Todrick. Both of those things would have been way more interesting to hear whatever Cynthia has to say about the game. Cynthia, by her own admission, knew nothing the entire time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's what was it like knowing nothing?
They need to do more. I think they should do more. I think that they're failing their own show that they don't do more mm-hmm. in the finale, especially with the winner and the runner up and all of that. But the lack of reunion continues to be just completely wild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just like the more I watch tonight and the more, and then when Carson won America's Favorite House Guest, I've officially accepted that, like, they're not doing this for us. Like, for
tonight us. Was the night you found that out, Melissa?
No, I mean, like, I always thought, like, I know I'm being serious because, like, I always thought that, like, they weighed equally, like, you know, they just couldn't, because of, like, red tape, do anything to actually, like, cater to super fans. But I feel like it's, like, now I get why. I mean, like, you saw Reddit and Twitter completely aligned in voting for Shayna for America's Favorite Player, and it did not matter. It did not make a difference.
The top three.
We have people like my parents who love watching the show, very casual viewers, casual fans. They were like, Carson all the way, but they won't even pick up their phones to vote because they're like, who cares? So they want Carson to win. They're not even going to vote. That's probably like half the casual viewers are doing that. I don't think most people are like, oh my God, I must text this number. So you've got all these people who are casual fans. Like, so then you multiply that by the people who actually did vote for Carson and he won. I mean, like, why should they care about us? We clearly are in the minority. We clearly are just a small little fraction. Like, the super fans are a small, detailed fraction. Why would they care about us? They obviously should, I guess, cater to the main viewing population, which is not us. And I really didn't get that until tonight. I really thought we had, like, no, I really did think that, like, the super fans were, like, a huge portion of it. But I guess that's only for Big Brother Canada.
Yeah, like, If I could, you know, speak to the numbers a little bit, and, you know, as somebody who has been in this space for 12 years now, doing Robin's podcast, like I could tell you, like, there is a finite number of the hardcore super fans of these shows. And I believe that number to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 50,000 to 100,000 people who are the sort of like hardcore super fans, or maybe it's 150,000. But in terms of then compare that to the number of people that watch the televised shows, now that I think those numbers are getting closer, as like it's not 10 million people that are watching the shows. It's, you know, it's probably, it's not 6 million people. It's, you know, I think that we looked at the other day, I think it might be around 3 million people watching the shows, but that's still what? 30 times more people that, or like to the casuals to the super fan. So, you know, if unless the super fans are outvoting the casuals, you know, 30-1, you know, it, and there are times when like that moves the needle, especially when you talk about Big Brother Canada, which has a smaller overall audience. But I've seen times when the super fans didn't come through when it came to a Big Brother Canada vote.
Yeah. You know, I actually, I hope it's okay that I share this, Miss. I recorded your reaction during the America's Favorite Player reveal.
Yeah, I do. This is so scary.
Oh! Carson, oh.
Yeah, that was me. How did you get that footage? Wow.
I have my ways.
No, it's just like, I don't know. It's just, I guess I'm just like part of like, the super fan community that I feel like it's bigger than it is, or I feel like it's more important than it is, I guess. And so I'm sitting here, you know, kind of, I was very surprised, to be honest, when the vote happened, or when the vote was revealed, because it just felt like, oh, okay. I'm not part of like, I don't know. It feels like when you're like watching politics or something and you like think you like are in your little bubble and you think that it's going to go a certain way. And then it's like, oh, actually you're not part of, like the majority. You're part of a teensy little minority. So I just feel like I kind of understand now why CBS doesn't care about us at all. And does nothing to make the show better for all of us because they don't need us.
Yeah.
Well, someone like Big Brother Canada, like they do care about us. It does feel like that.
It is interesting to think of like in the room, like in the production trailer, they're like nailed it again. Good. All right. Fist good bump, job. Everybody. Another season in the books. Killed it. We killed it. We nailed it. I will say, Taryn, as you pointed out, like these late season shows, Carson had an incredibly strong recap episode on Saturday night. Shayna, they showed her doing crystal stuff and the levitating. Carson was all over the recap episode the other night.
Yeah, and I mean, even just me watching the show, every time Carson shows up, you know, I'm just like, oh, he's so great. He's so funny.
I do love Carson. Don't get me wrong.
So yeah, I mean, I think that's really, you know, that like you can't really beat that when it comes to the casual vote. I really thought that Lamar would come in strong with it, but
good top three.
He was top three, but I wonder if he was second or third at this point.
I'm curious.
We'll never know.
Yeah.
By the way, his suit was so nice. He looked so good. Mm-hmm. I was very impressed, and everybody looked so good.
They all
Julie
did,
was
yeah.
right.
Mm-hmm. So glamorous. So glamorous.
So glamorous.
Clean up.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know It Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV. Let's talk a little bit about, so, all right, we got through Cynthia. Okay, Misha versus Todrick. They did not get questions, but they got to give speeches. And, you know, Misha had, like, certainly, you know, a fine speech. Mm. Okay. Todrick had a couple of interesting nuggets here, Puya. Todrick tells us
the word nuggets in negative means like that, Rob. How okay. dare you?
Todrick's biggest influence for Big Brother.
I came into this house hoping to make it this far, but I never thought in a million years I would meet a dynamic duo partner like Derek and Cody, the people I fell in love with when they played this game.
Do we know that Derek and Cody are the origin story of Todrick? Is this new information, Taryn?
I wouldn't say they're the origin of Todrick. I also felt like it was a bit of a choice for him to mention Derek and Cody to Misha when Misha was picking who to bring to the final two. Mm-hmm. Like that's like if she knew her history, that might be a moment where she's like, oh, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I should do something different. Obviously, that would have been bad, though. People like Derek and Cody. They really want to be Derek and Cody.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So,
Plus he says he always recommends to people watch Big Brother 16 and 19. Mm-hmm. He said those are his favorite seasons. I think he said, or 17. He didn't say 17. He said 16 and 19, right?
Oh, 16 and 19.
16 yeah. and 19. Yep. Yep. Yeah. That was the taste that he decided to put out there.
Yeah.
I mean, continually recommended by production as well. They're always showing 16 in Sequester. This is another situation, I think, where it's like, you know, the super fans don't love 16, but casuals do. They love it.
Puya.
And listen,
tonight, also, Todrick revealed that he is the biggest Big Brother super fan. He has the contestants at his house. He basically like eats, sleeps, breathes Big Brother.
Has any other contestant gone to his house aside from this past season's contestants? I feel like it's not a usual thing.
Devon, Bailey, Tamar.
Yeah.
Did they? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there were some more. There were some more.
Like prior.
Yeah.
Prior to the Big Brother
23. He knew Tamar before.
Yeah. He found out about the show on Facebook last season. Like, he is new. He is new. He is masquerading as a super fan and giving us a bad name and putting out 16 and 19 as the picks. You know, production, Todrick, all super fans. We're the casuals, if anything. What do we know?
Puya, was on The Masked Singer, was his costume a Big Brother super fan?
I mean, could have been a good one. No, he was the bull, and everything he said this season was bull. So in character, all the way through in 2021, 2022.
Yes. All right. Before we get to the final two speeches, so we brought out the jury. Carson wanted to address the floor, apologize to Shayna. I mean, he has been, very much effusive in his apologies, falling on his sword on social media the last couple of days. Melissa, did it take any of the sting off of the Shayna eviction to have Carson be so sorry about what he did?
Certainly. I mean, I think I did like his correspondence with Shayna on social media and kind of just like, I feel like you don't quite get a lot of that from both ends. I feel like either someone won't apologize or someone will apologize and the person like won't accept their apology. And it's just this like awkward thing after they leave the house. I do appreciate that he's like, hey, like, I really like you as a person. I made a mistake. I'm owning up to it. She's saying, absolutely, I love you as a person and I accept that. Like, I do appreciate that because I do feel like it's kind of like leave the drama in the house. And once you get out, kind of like let it go or else it's just going to haunt you. So I did like that. I appreciated that. And so I think Carson's a great person. And so I'm not mad that he won. I just like, I do wish Shayna had won, which was that's all it is. And I don't want people thinking like, oh, Melissa hates Carson for whatever reason. I think he's great. I've loved him since the first Queer Eye. I was like obsessed. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Please nobody drag Melissa for
being
a Carson fan.
Don't drag me.
I think you're good if it was the casuals that voted him for AFP. They're not watching this.
I don't know if I'm ever good. There's too many draggings that happen. So I have to watch myself.
Okay. Please leave Melissa alone.
Leave me alone.
Yeah. Come on. All right. Then we also, we checked back in with Shayna. How's she feeling about something? And Julie realized. She missed a very important question when she spoke with Shayna in her exit interview the other night.
And I know you've been a, lifelong fan of this show, and you have been through the pageant circuit. What's tougher, competing for Miss New York or Miss USA or competing in the Big Brother house?
Yes.
You just know that for 9 days now, Julie has been beating herself. I can't.
God. Stupid.
God, that's
actually, I lied. That's not the last question.
I almost forgot it. I can't believe it. Okay. Allison, hold on. Can we look? I really need to ask a question.
You do over.
Can we just cut the jury questions? Because I need to ask them some questions. I really need to ask.
What's more difficult?
That's the question I need to ask. Can we do that?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you want, Julie.
Yeah.
What you talking about, Julie?
Yeah. So I will say, I suspect when Shayna went through Miss Universe, there were less people making smart comments about what she was wearing.
I mean, Low key, you're not missing on that. Probably. That could be facts. Yeah.
Yeah. Might have been, you know, less emotionally traumatizing to go through the pageants. Okay. Then we got the real speeches. I mentioned Misha. Todrick talked about, he referenced the cookout. Don't vote for him because he's black. Don't vote for him just because he's gay. And he talked about how the relationship that him and Misha had in the house. Boy, if there were more Misha and Todricks in this world, it would be a much better place. And I think that that's what everybody watching the show probably was thinking. Why couldn't there be more Mishas and Todricks in the world?
I also loved how he usually the line is like, if there were only more people like you in the world, this world would be a better place. And instead he's like, if only there were more people like you and me. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like he had to sit there and be like,
of course.
If only there were more me's around. It's like, that's not really how you're supposed to say it, but okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Todrick's speech is actually really funny. If you heard his practice speech to Cynthia, because it was longer and he needed to cut down the speech to fit the time constraint. And his longer speech was actually, and I put this not to mean that like it was good, but it was better than what he did tonight because he was actually able to speak through all of the points. Still really bad, especially considering his audience. But watching his speech tonight, knowing what he wanted to say, it came out like he was rushing through every point and he was saying, like, I really want to use the money to make art for my audience.
Yeah, can I play that clip?
Yes. I would love to use that money to make art for my community, for my fan base.
Thank you, Todrick.
Okay. Do Wizard of Oz costumes count as making art for your community?
No. I don't think so.
For him, probably, because he'll make a video of it and post it online.
If he does something with it.
Yeah, that's making art. Mm-hmm.
Art for my fan base, yeah.
Yeah, what he's trying to say there, what he said to Cynthia is, I didn't come into this house for my own personal like financial gain. I don't have kids, but I do have millions and millions of young, impressionable LGBT artists that look up to me. And if I win, I vow to use the money to create art for that community that I love so much, which is also like, okay. But actually makes a little bit more sense than, and I vow to use this money to make art for my, my people.
It still is not great because I feel like it's like he's just gonna make art, like meaning he's just gonna like do his own project still. It's like it's not like I'm gonna use that money to like donate to my community or whatever. Like it's literally just like I'm gonna use that money to keep doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, what he's saying is he's going to invest in his own business and continue to produce content. But he was at least able to kind of pretty it up to Cynthia. Whereas in this speech, he was just like stumbling through like the basics.
It's got to be hard though. They give you no time, and it's just like, come on, let's keep going. You know, it's I would be stressed out. You don't have like the chance to like write it down in the house, so you can't like just memorize it. It's like you have to, you know, I don't know. Hard.
He intended to say earlier when he said, I came into this game and as a super fan. You know, he was going to say, I expected to backstab and manipulate, but then I met everyone and I realized that this group would respect loyalty, transparency, and honesty.
Yeah.
So I pivoted. Cynthia gave him the advice. You might want to cut that part.
Smart.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So Julie asked everybody to vote. And when you vote, put your key in the box, but don't give away necessarily who you're voting for. You can give us like just say something, and every single person like very much gave away what they were doing. But it was great. It was the best part of the episode.
Say that now.
Oh, easily the best part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought Teddy's was great. I had seen her tweet that.
Okay, here let's hear it.
Here's
okay. Teddy.
Yeah.
One of your favorite movies is Wizard of Oz, but you've forgotten that we could see behind the curtain.
Oh!
So I'm going to choose the lesser of two evils.
Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna like power rank these, right?
Yeah. Well, let's.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Are there any other Wizard of Oz burns out there? Like your favorite movie is The Wizard of Oz, but which is it that you need most? A brain, a heart, or courage?
Or all of the above?
Yeah.
Or do you just need to go home? Yeah, I don't know. I thought hers was really good. I had seen her tweet that, and I saw someone respond to it and say, like, you should say this on finale night. We don't care. We've already seen it. It's just so good. And I agreed with it because it was really clever.
Mm-hmm. It was good. I think ultimately you do have to dock some points for the fact that we've seen it before. And then she also fudged the line, the lesser of two evils. So, you know, a little docking some points for that. But it was very good. I think this is a contender for top pick.
All right. Definitely. Good start there by Teddy. I didn't pull the ones that weren't that interesting. Mariah voted. What did Mariah say? She respected.
She respects competitions.
Okay.
And this person beasted.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I like, because in his speech, Todrick did try and throw some digs of like, I don't want to win on over just competitions. And so I wanted to do this game justice and blah, blah, blah. And Mariah was like, no.
Mm hmm.
Disagree.
Okay. All right.
Subtle.
Here comes Chris Kirkpatrick. Please, did you know Chris Kirkpatrick backdoored himself?
It was my first time finding out. Mm-hmm. Rob, speaking of stuff we'd already heard about, it's his favorite thing he's done this season, this year even.
Yeah. Okay. Here's Chris's vote.
Came into this house, tried to leave with integrity, so this is for my son. He would have me do it no other way. Congratulations.
Ooh.
So Swish. Good. So good. Yeah, because I didn't get it at first. At first, I was kind of like, oh, okay, whatever. And then I was like, oh, my God, the sun comment. Like, it totally, I mean, I don't know if Todrick caught that, but he should have, because that was, whew, that was good.
Okay.
Yes, this is great because it's not a direct attack. It's it's using what Todrick tried to use against him. Todrick. I think you do have to dock 1 point for using the word integrity. Otherwise, this is a very, very good one.
Okay. I agree. Really minus one for using integrity, but then plus one for a callback, because we do love a good callback.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And then this is the other one that I have a clip pulled for. We have Shayna.
The one thing that this vote ensures is that I will not ever have to hear your voice again.
Fire. Flames. Flames. So good.
It's very good.
Hold on. Fire blast attack. Mm-hmm. Did not miss.
It was super effective.
Super effective.
Mm-hmm. It's classic.
She doesn't miss. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah,
it's great. It's great.
Yeah.
I also really liked Todd's.
I liked Todd. I liked Todd's because it kind of explains things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was like, he's like, I'm not like going to say a clever thing. I'm just like, look, everything was good until I watched the live feeds. Okay. Turns out you guys suck.
Well, can I ask a question here? Like, what was it that Todd saw that was there any incriminating footage about Todd, or that he just like read the room and was like, oh yeah, everybody's pissed.
I think if we're being real, it's less that he saw the live feeds and more that he saw how much people hated Todd.
He saw Twitter. He might have seen one or two clips. I think the thing that stood out to me in his exit interviews was the accusations of him potentially being homophobic from Todrick are one of the things that was asked in either Mike or Sharon's interview. So I think that might have been something he saw. But the best part of Todd's eviction was late at night when he had left, mentioning at Shayna, DM me, at Teddy Mellencamp. Let's get it. Can we talk real quick? So he did some research, plus one for saying live feeds and making it validated that live feeds are important, because I feel like the show doesn't give that its due enough. So that was good from Todd. Now, can I quickly bring up Lamar's?
Yes.
Because can we find out, can we as a squad here try and brainstorm, what in the world is the tattoo that he got this
morning? I wonder if it's like a Kobe tat that he said he wanted to bring the Mamba energy the other night. Was the tattoo that I wonder if on Lamar's Instagram, if he's posted a picture of it. Or maybe it's not fit for to be
when you get shown a tattoo yet. Fresh. Yeah, it might be a little bit like, you know, not camera ready potentially.
But mm-hmm. I also feel like if you're gonna mention it on live TV and say you're basing your vote on that, like you should at least like post a photo of it or something, like so that way people can be like, oh, that's
okay. So the chat is saying Mamba mentality tattoo.
That makes sense. Okay, that 100% checks out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, that's gotta be
okay. So, just, and then with Todd, I was a little uncomfortable. I wanted him to take his jacket off. I felt like, he was like, getting ready to run out the door.
I didn't even notice.
Is that just
what
me?
What do you mean?
He had his jacket on the whole time. Like Todd,
like a coat.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even notice.
Rob, man's not hot. When man's not hot, the jacket stays on. Come on. We know this. We learned this.
Yeah. Oh, you think that because of the booty do?
No, wow. I don't know about that.
Yeah,
about
yeah.
That.
So
that is coming from you. Yeah. I didn't say that.
Yeah, I mean, Lamar said it.
Listen,
well,
so
you
when
just said it,
when mm-hmm. Twitter tells Todd what Rob said, I want you to know, Todd, we didn't say that. The person in the top left said it. We're good.
We had nothing to do with it
on the live feed.
We disclaim
yes.
Rob from Rob Has a Podcast. It's now just Has a Podcast. He's okay. been canceled. It's over.
That's it. That's what I'm going down for. Todd Bridges should take his jacket off.
Of all the things that could have taken you out, it was Todd Bridges.
Shocking that it came down to this, but you know.
Oh my god!
Cancel culture.
Can't believe it. Oh my god. Okay.
I did also enjoy Carson going up. Where did I put my keys?
Like not having it. You better not.
It was a good tension breaker because he was kind of in the middle too. So it was nice to get him, you know, put a little comedy in it. It was good. It was a classic Carson.
But I think that sort of just like fits Carson's whole vibe is just like, I'm above this drama. Like, like I'm not gonna get involved and lay down with dogs and, you know, get fleas on me. Like, I'm above all this.
I do like that, and I feel like it really you know, solidifies or I guess reassures like or reaffirms my impression of him prior to that him going in the house. I always get worried, you know, when you know someone before they go in and then you see them on the live feeds and you're like, oh God, what are we gonna get? Are we gonna get like a is this actually a good person or is this, you know, a bad situation or whatever? And he's just exactly as you would hope he would be. You know, yeah, he made a mistake in the game, but it was just a mistake. You know what I mean? It's not. And even then he apologized to Shayna. He, you know, and even when he really didn't necessarily need to apologize, but the fact that he went ahead and apologized and said like, look, like any, you know, ill treatment that you had in the house, I'm so sorry, blah, blah, blah. You know, it just made me feel like he is such a really great guy. And it just made me happy to know that he is the way he presents himself.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, even more so, he bakes. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Even better.
All right. So now are you saying that you get where AFP is coming from?
Well, look, I've always understood it because I like Carson, but you know, I was hoping for a different result.
Okay. Let's go to the counting of the votes. Taryn, we started with Cynthia mercifully.
Yes. Man, it felt like it was neck and neck there for a second. 1-1.
One.
I was wondering, you know, will this come down to America's vote? It was a very serious matter. I put a poll up on Twitter to make sure that we were independently verifying America's vote, just in case this came down to a tie. And Twitter did decide that Misha would get their vote. So obviously that was. I'm surprised that we didn't just note that just in case it had gone to a tie.
Well, you bring up the America's vote. We didn't get the results from that. Julie said it was only going to be in the case of a tie. I would have loved to have seen the results. I would have loved to have seen the results.
Well, now we'll never know what percent of the vote was Misha. You know, like I want to know what that second integer is, and I don't know that we'll ever find out now.
Yeah, that would be a great what it's not quiplash. What is it?
Espionage.
Yeah, number Wang. What was the percentage of votes for Misha?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
and Sharon pitched it to her of like, can we get this? And Julie was like, that's a good idea. I'm going to pitch that to the producers. Maybe that'll be fun for a reveal. you were right, yeah. Julie. And they said, nope.
Mm-hmm. No, I think they probably said yes. But then Julie was like,
actually, I lied. That's not the last question.
What's more difficult?
she needed to make sure she remembered the one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when Misha came out, she won and then went right into Misha.
Be honest now, Misha. What's more difficult, going in the octagon and competing as an MMA fighter or competing in the Celebrity Big Brother house?
Going in the octagon. Mm-hmm. And then she was like, I need more. And competing as a fighter.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Because, you know, there are other things you can do in the octagon. Mm-hmm. I'm sure this is exactly how Misha wanted to celebrate her win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Misha comes out and it's like confetti. And then everybody's just sitting there and Julie's like, no, you can get up. Come on. Come be excited for them.
I think they knew, Julie. They just chose not to.
Yeah.
Like, I want to sit. I'm good.
But can I just comment on something? And look, I am so not the guy of the, like, you know, what's with the masks? But again, all season, every person came out of the house. Hey, Julie! Like, air hug. No, excuse me. I'm sorry.
I wish I could.
Tonight, like, she's like, Chris Kattan, get in here. Whoa. Why? If anything, this was less safe. They were in the house. They were in a bubble. They came out. Get away from me. They leave. Go out into the world. Come back. Get in here.
Rob, it's because it's just that it's an excuse to not hug people. That's all it is.
She was hugging people tonight. No,
Rob, when they come out one by one and there's an expectation of hug, then she'd have to hug all of them. But at the finale, when everyone's there, she can pick and choose who she wants to hug and not have to very visibly, you know, not hug somebody.
Who did she hug? I want that data. Who did she hug tonight? I would like to know.
I was going to say, like, I think it must just be because, like, well, this was my initial thought and it's proven wrong, but I was like, it must be because, you know, she doesn't, they're still part of it until finale. Once finale happens, like, it doesn't matter if they catch COVID or whatever, they're not coming back. It's like, it's over, but they're not going to the jury house. They're going out in the real world. It's not like, oh, you're keeping them like in a little bubble still by then sending them off to the jury house and then bringing them in. And then once finale hits, it's like, who cares? They're out in the real world. Like, I don't get why it changes everything. Like, and also she's like, maybe it's because her duty is done. Like she was been in her own bubble.
You think it's like production, like, but if she, they're in a bubble that Julie's more, Julie's not in a bubble. She's not like,
that's what I was wondering. It's like, maybe they're keeping
quarantining for the season,
quarantine. So to make sure that she can still like, you know, be healthy for, you know, the next few episodes or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
Really. There is no logic to it. And the next house gets to come out and have Julie say, like, no, don't hug me. She'd just be like, whatever, I've seen you on finale night, and just give him a big hug.
Well, okay. Now let's consensual hugs, everyone. I'm telling you,
she said she wants someone.
Mm-hmm.
She said she wants Melissa. I would love to hug you.
All right, Taryn. So when you and I take over the network, now that Rob and Melissa are canceled, we'll really make this be a thing, huh? If I end up on Big Brother, I'm going to get ahead of it. I'm going to be like, no, Julie, keep the distance. I don't want to hug you. I want to be the one to say it to Julie. I'm going to switch it back.
Yeah, I don't know where you've been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been in a bubble.
Yeah. Julie will be like, oh, I wish I could give you a hug right now. Like, no, that's fine. You're good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to hug you anyway.
Julie, would you mind putting a mask on? I'm a little... I've been bubble. Yeah. I've been quarantining here for a couple of weeks with my friends.
They just drag the chair back. Just like sit further away.
Murray, do you have a mask? Yeah. Okay. So we got one question in for Todrick. We don't really even have time to phrase it in the form of a question.
This makes Broadway look easy. Eight live
shows. Yes, it does. Absolutely.
right?
Julie just assumed the answer was that you're going to say this is harder.
We don't have
right?
time so, to ask in the question yeah. for
Julie knows that Todrick might not give her the answer she wants. I like Todrick is the like, kind of
I perform every day and it is strenuous.
Like, mm-hmm. Actually, Big Brother is super easy, and what I do every day is it's really a challenge.
I think Julie just wants them to work. Suffer. She like wants them four. To be like, this is really, really hard. She just wants that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the monster.
The monster. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The monster is back. We have some questions from the listeners of Rob Has a Podcast here on finale night. Sasha Joseph asked, Rob, what's harder, podcasting or playing Survivor? You know what I told Sasha? She asked me this on Twitter. Every normal job is harder than playing Survivor or Big Brother. I mean, winning, okay, maybe it's hard to win, but to just play, how many people showed up this season, did not know one rule,
do anything.
Just sat there,
played solitaire, cards, hung out.
If you did any of these things at your job, you'd be fired.
Gone.
You'd be fired. No job. Gone. Yeah. Every person listening, your job is harder. Than playing.
Hold on. Is it not okay that I'm playing solitaire right now?
Wait, are we not all playing solitaire right now?
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. Does anybody disagree on this?
No.
Winning is hard. Playing is easy.
I think that there are lots of people that come out of the show who have different like levels of emotional damage. Mm-hmm. It can be a pretty scarring experience for people.
So can a lot of jobs, Taryn.
It's very true. I mean I'm totally with you. I think that you know in our capitalist society that the fact that we have to work for a living is pretty terrible, and most jobs are terrible.
I'm just saying. They can't find people to work, that people are clamoring to get in the Big Brother house.
I don't disagree in that sense. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's take a question from Ben. Where does Misha rank out of the three Celebrity Big Brother winners? Okay. Interestingly, Celebrity Big Brother, all the winners have been women.
That's right.
Yep. That's so, right. Okay. Each time, a woman has beat a man in the final two. So kind of the inverse of what we've seen in the normal seasons of the show. So I guess if we're going to rank them, where are we going here?
It's an interesting like comparison. They all played very different games.
Yes.
They all had very like strong attributes, like aspects to their game. And they all were flawed in different areas as well. I think that, I think that when it comes down to it, like Misha was great at the comps, Marissa was great at the social game, and Tamar was like pretty good. I would say the most overall, like well-rounded player of them all. And I think that for me, I would go Tamar number one. I think that, the addition of like being so loved actually is a huge advantage in Celebrity Big Brother. So even if you weren't sure, like skill wise by itself, I think that contributes. I'd say Tamar number one. I'd say Misha number two. Just the ability to win competitions. It's really big. All she needs is a couple of good allies to back her up here and there, and she can probably just win her way to the end. And then Marissa number three. I don't think she's far behind. I think they're all like pretty good. Not bad winners.
Yeah. On the same page. And I mean, look no further than the voting breakdowns. The unanimous winner number one, lost by one number two. I think this is apt. And like that's vote confirmation. I think everything else Tara mentioned as far as the reasons why, I would co-sign as well.
I think the one thing, though, to consider is like competition, like their competition, not the competitions that they win. Like, I do think that in season one, Marissa had a lot harder competition or a lot like better players that she was competing against than
the field, right.
This season. So I do think that while Misha was very good at winning competitions, I think in terms of who she was playing against, it really wasn't that hard for her. There were a couple people that wanted her out, but for the most part, she really didn't have a tough time at all. So I do think that taking that into consideration, like I think I might rank Marissa higher just because, you know, of who she was competing against and the fact that she still won, even though she had such strong competitors on her season.
Okay. Let's go to Samantha. Which juror do you think had the best statement when submitting their votes? Yeah. Taryn, anyway, you said we wanted to rank them. Did we end up with an official winner?
I think my vote has to go to Kirkpatrick for the callback. I think the not the direct attack, but the sneak attack from the side. Mm-hmm. It's, I thought it was great.
Can't Shayna win something tonight?
Poor Shayna.
Shayna would be easily like the top two is Chris Kirkpatrick and Shayna, no doubt. But again, it's the callback, Rob. We are podcasters. We love a good callback. I love a good callback. So it takes it. Oh, even though I think Shayna's gets like the best like roast material. Best roast of the night came from Shayna. Mm-hmm. But this subtlety with Chris Kirkpatrick, listen, he backdoored himself, Rob. Give him something. Give him a crumb.
Okay. He gets a crumb. Okay. Jace Eaton, why did Todrick run off the screen after the voting took place? I've never seen that happen before. I must have missed that. Did he run?
I thought he just had to go to the bathroom, but
to cry.
You know, I thought he figured like now's my chance. I'm going to go to the bathroom, but it's possible that something else happened.
When do we think Todrick gets the phone back?
I probably already has.
What does it look like? What does it look like when the return to social media?
Probably saying, let's keep that off for now.
I think it was like, it probably went something like, do you want me to delete Twitter? Or do you want you to delete Twitter before I give you this phone back, Todrick? And he was like, you can do it. And then he took his phone and Twitter wasn't on it.
Yeah.
His Twitter, like his account is still there.
Right.
He might have deleted the app, but the account is still there. I did just check.
Will we have a notes app statement from Todrick in the next 24 hours?
No. Like what? An apology notes app or just a My Journey notes app?
Apology.
No. No way.
I could see a My Journey situation.
What's like a My Journey? Melissa, could you explain My Journey? Like a hype video.
Mm. I think mainly like a video being like never explicitly apologizing for anything, but just kind of like trying to give like an explanation of like, oh, the house, it's so hard in there. You know, you never know what's going to happen, mm-hmm. blah, 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 you know, that sort of thing. But I don't think he's really going to explicitly like apologize for anything.
No, I think it's going to be like, hello, my toddlers. We're out here. You know, it was a journey, but we've got the tour coming up. The big world tour is happening. Here's the links to that. I think it's going to be full, just jump back into the business. I really don't think, especially after the reception from tonight, and I think he'll get the heads up. I don't think he's going to acknowledge anything for a minute. I really don't.
Yeah, I think that's right. Like he's not a stranger to this sort of thing. I feel like if you're new to it, you feel like, oh, I got to say something. But if you're not, then you kind of know that you
probably should. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's check one from KNT. Favorite awkward interaction between the jurors, final two. Todrick force shaking Lamar's arm or Kattan introducing himself to Julie. Kattan hopping off of his stool.
I didn't see any of these things.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly saw Kattan hopping off and running to go to Julie. Did we see Todrick force shaking Lamar's arm? I think that Todrick seemed a little bit hurt when the Lamar vote came through.
Well, I think that's when he knew for sure that he wasn't going to win. He knew that he would beat Lamar and Todd. I mean, to be fair, I think he knew based on what people were saying. Mm-hmm. The fact that he didn't get Mariah as well was like a huge right out of the gate. So I think he knew, but he wasn't expecting for sure Lamar's vote. But that's just the moment where it's like, okay, I can't delude myself anymore. There's no possible way I can win this without Lamar's vote.
Okay. Here's one from Candy. Do you think any of the jurors talked to Cynthia before the vote? She seemed less enthusiastic about her vote for Todrick when she stepped up to the table. This isn't Candy Burris, is it?
We wish.
It
is. Yeah. About her friend Cynthia.
I'm just going to assume it is.
Yes.
Hello, Candy. I love you. So, I think that she didn't get a chance to talk to people. I think that she just heard the statements and was like, I haven't heard enough to like change my conviction of how much I love Todrick, but I'm a little bit concerned.
Yeah.
I'm going to vote for the person that's been there for me, when I needed him. Hopefully that's not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think definitely Todd's statement about like, you know, watching the live feeds and seeing that, like, you don't have to talk bad about people when they're not there anymore. Like, I could definitely see that affecting her opinion of them, but not knowing what that means really. And so I think she was certainly less effusive of her like Todrick praise and was more just like, I guess this is who I'm voting for. But yeah, I think it certainly was like getting to her a little.
Okay. And then Jamie says, where does this jury fall on the list of most bitter juries? Again, I don't know if this was a bitter jury in the sense of like, Todrick should have won. You were all bitter, but they were pissed.
I don't think that's a necessary qualification for bitter. I think that, you know, bitter juries are juries that are very angry. And I do think this jury was very angry. So in that sense, I think, we can classify. I think it's one of the more bitter juries. They were all very upset. I think, you know, Big Brother 14 still probably takes the cake in terms of like the level of vitriol.
But bitter, I think, speaks to the wrong person won.
Right.
Well, I don't think so. I mean, I think bitter means that they voted against somebody rather than for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And that they were very angry about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, at least that's the definition that we used when we ranked the most bitter juries.
They were furious. I don't know if they were bitter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I agree. I agree with both of you. So now I'm confused. But I do feel like bitter can sometimes make me think like they're upset with the person for how they were treated. Like, I don't know, like they're upset with the way the person played the game. And I don't know if they're necessarily. Maybe they are. I don't know.
Looking up the definition of bitter, unhappy and angry because of unfair treatment, which I think is pretty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess normally we feel like that, okay, bitter jury and the person, the wrong person won. The jury voted for the lesser person.
Well, I think most people are like, that's a bad argument. Like a bitter jury does not mean that the worst person won. Necessarily. Mm-hmm. I think those are separate things that get conflated, but I don't think they should be conflated.
Right. Like you can have a bitter jury caused someone's loss and also someone caused themselves to get a bitter jury, but they didn't lose for that reason. Like both can happen and both can be activated in that situation, in either situation with the bitter jury being there.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's take a question here from Julie Stylist who says, who won best dressed of the night?
Hello, welcome back, everyone. What a glamorous bunch. The most glamorous celebrity house guest ever.
Okay.
Lamar.
He looked so good. I love
this. They all looked really good. I thought Julie looked great. Lamar looked great. Todd with his jacket. I thought Catan looked amazing. Mariah looked amazing.
Mariah did look amazing.
Carson had a great suit.
Yeah, everybody looked really good, but I think I paid most attention to Lamar's because I was like, ooh, that's a nice jacket. And everyone else was kind of like, they all like collectively look good, but they didn't like stand out.
And like, let me put this out there, okay? You see me, you see what I'm wearing? This is what I wear more. I'm wearing a hoodie like 9 times out of 10, okay? So far be it from me to be like the fashion police here. What did y'all think about Todrick's outfit? I don't quite understand it, but I also don't understand his fashion sense. I assume it's fashion. I just don't understand it.
I really liked it. I thought it was cool.
I thought it was cool too.
It flow. Yeah. Like to
get the wish list out. We'll get it for you. Wear it for the premiere of 24.
I could not pull that off.
I will say that like as much as like everyone is like ragging on Todrick and as much as it was like a whole like ordeal, his HOH like nomination ceremony, I thought it was very creative the way he put together that outfit. I did not like the super, super high pitch like HOH. I did not like that. But I did. Wait, hold on,
Melissa, what was it?
I'm not doing it again. I did think that the outfit was really creative. Yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, why not just like, why not sing it like an octave lower, maybe something more like in like the good hearing range, like mm-hmm. so we're not like hurting. But anyway, I digress. I just
Melissa's like, we'll never want to hear your voice again.
Yeah. I mean,
not that bad.
It sounds like we've got ourselves a plan for the premiere of BB24. Taryn's going to wear the Todrick outfit mm-hmm. and Melissa's going to sing us into the season. Perfect.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. That's for our draft podcast. Mm-hmm.
And I'll wear Todd's jacket. Okay.
There we go.
Keep it on the whole show. Be hot. Okay. All right. Celebrity Big Brother 3.
Cold.
Yeah, we did it. We made it. What else?
Well, Rob, I don't know if you saw because mostly Canadians saw, but mm-hmm. there was actually a commercial, Celebrity Big Brother over in Canada for Big Brother Canada 10.
Yep.
And in the commercial, we saw some of the cast members.
Yep.
One of which is one Kyle Moore.
I actually read it wrong. I saw Sam Moore is going to be on Big Brother Canada.
No.
Can you imagine he didn't tell you?
What they decided is that they needed more Kyles. And so for those that don't know this story, it's quite an interesting one. Last season for Big Brother Canada 9, there was a cast member who was pulled from the cast because of some problematic things that popped up. And there was a replacement made, a last minute replacement, a guy called Kyle Moore. And all we had was this like tiny picture and a name. And so Twitter did what Twitter does. The internet went wild and they searched out Kyle Moore. And they found this guy. He was this good looking guy. He looked pretty similar to the photo. He had a podcast about mental health. It seemed like he was really cool. People were really excited about him. I believe I drafted this guy. I believe I drafted Kyle Moore, thinking he was this Kyle.
Time.
Mm-hmm. And then the next day, Kyle Moore shows up to his Twitter account and he's like, why have all of these people said that I'm on a show called Big Brother Canada? It wasn't the right Kyle Moore. It turns out that this was actually a different Kyle Moore on the season who was like a hockey player and a completely different guy. Looked somewhat similar in that photo, at least. And so the real Kyle Moore, as we call him, was like, oh, this is so cool. Like this, mm-hmm. this whole, so welcoming. This Big Brother thing is interesting. He ended up playing Among Us with us a few times.
That's true.
We've interacted with him. He's a cool guy. And now the real Kyle Moore has been cast for Big Brother Canada 10.
Will this backstory be part of the show? And if so, will they say that like actually last season there was a guy who had the same name as me and he got canceled and then people thought that I was him.
It's in his bio. It's in his bio. I did read it. One of his things that he mentioned was that, you know, people on Twitter thought it was me. I could see it in his intro package for sure.
Yeah. I can see him bringing it up there. So funny. They should absolutely talk about that.
And Puya, this Sunday, will you be inviting old Kyle Moore to play Among Us?
Hit the Uno reversal.
I have actually played Among Us with both Kyle Moores.
That's so funny. I was so... my jaw dropped on the floor when I saw Kyle Moore. I was like, oh my God. Cause I saw Puya's tweet earlier today where he was like theorizing. First of all, did you know?
No.
I think my question is, do I get a legacy pick here? I picked Kyle Moore.
Are we sure you picked Kyle Moore?
Picked the alternate. I think picking the whoever's replacing this person.
I think it was during the podcast. People found this Kyle Moore and they were like, this is the guy. And mm-hmm. he's got a mental health problem. Like, and I was like, based on that information, I was like, I'll pick this guy.
Karen, I mean, as the champion, you get to pick the draft order. You put yourself first, pick him.
I just think it should be a free pick.
No, that's not, but you don't get it. If a returning player comes back, you don't still have them in your draft. Yeah. Yeah.
I want Kyle Moore.
Mm-hmm. You make the order.
I was so excited when I saw him pop up. I like immediately went to Twitter and no one was saying anything. And I was like, is that not actually Kyle? Like, am I just like misunderstanding this? And then finally people were tweeting about it. And I was like, oh my God, oh my God. Mm-hmm. It's just so exciting. I just feel like it's like, I tweeted about this, but it feels like such a simple thing for them to do, like to cast this like good looking, like, you know, normal, fun, like guy who likes the show. Like, it's such a simple thing to do, but it's such a big gesture for the fans. When we had been saying all like last season, like, this is the Kyle you should have had. We want this Kyle. This is the real Kyle. And instead of just being like, yeah, yeah, whatever, poo poo. They were like, okay, let's cast him. And it's fantastic. I think that it's like, it draws in the community. We know this guy and it makes us feel like we're part of it because everyone's basically saying like Big Brother Twitter cast this guy. Mm. Like we did it, you know? And you know, God, hopefully I don't.
Has he been watching since way back when, like Todd recall?
He watched BBCan 9.
Yeah, he watched it when we all were watching it. Mm-hmm. And was like commentating on it and like being a part of like the Twitter scene. So I don't know if he's done like his homework, but I do think that he knows the show and he knows the community and he knows, I think, what he's getting into. So I'm very excited. I'm very excited. I think this is a great move on Big Brother Canada's part. And, you know, it really makes me pumped for the season. I'm really excited.
Yeah. And like, you know, this is different than knowing someone from like our community who like is actively either podcasting Big Brother or has knowledge of the show. Kyle, we know exactly when he learned about the show, when his Twitter mentions blew up because BB Twitter was like, you're one of us now. We forced him into the circle. So win or lose, whether he does amazing or not, we know he's an amazing guy. So it's going to be fun to watch him experience this, and it's going to be fun to watch him. And whether he wins, which obviously we'll be rooting for the homie, great. If he doesn't do well, I know exactly why, because I know how much he's, you know, had the knowledge of it. It's just going to be fun to watch him, knowing that like he's going to enjoy himself. Mm-hmm. So yeah, thumbs up.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else about the world of Big Brother before I tell you what else is going on?
I mean, I'm just if you have not checked out Big Brother Canada and you just sat through 3 weeks of Celebrity Big Brother, you're doing it wrong. You should be watching the Canadian version. That should be your priority over the celebrity version at this point. And if you're still here watching this podcast at the end of Celebrity Big Brother,
you're down bad for Big Brother. Okay. Yeah, watch the Canadian version.
Be watching the Canadian version.
Yeah.
Big Brother Canada 9 was excellent. It's not difficult to watch. That might be a big barrier for some people, but it's very easy, especially if you can watch a podcast, you can watch Big Brother Canada. So, I definitely recommend you check it out.
Okay. Well, let's talk about
in the chat that there's a RHAP patron that got on this season.
Okay, well, we have to we will have plenty of time to talk about that. Let me tell you about what's coming up here. First, we have one more Big Brother celebrity podcast to do when tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern, we'll be back one more time with The Slop as the B&B takes over The Slop. Mike and Liana are going to be playing some games and I'm sure talking about a lot of the social media going on over the last or 24 hours from now about Celebrity Big Brother for the Patrons Robins podcast. Join us live at 6 p.m. Eastern for The Slop coming up on Thursday, and we will close out the Big Brother celebrity season then. Look who's going to be back together tomorrow, okay? No live feed update, but Taryn and Puya are going to get together and talk about what we know at this hour from the game show, Big Brother Canada 10. Taryn, what time is that happening at?
Around 2:30 Eastern. So we will be checking out the cast, giving our reactions to Kyle Moore. If there are other people, other patrons, we'll be running through the bios and everything, just giving some thoughts, giving a primer. Should be a good time.
Okay. Meet all 16 new castaways tomorrow.
Castaways, yeah.
Yeah. Well, what do you call it? House guests? Whatever. Survivor's 2 weeks from today.
Wow,
yeah.
Whatever.
Hey, you guys want to be all like on your fall on the principles here.
Oh my goodness.
It's been a long couple of weeks.
Jump to the podcast.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about the draft. Okay. The four of us and Amon will be back together for the draft. What's that? Monday night, the draft?
At 8.
Monday at 8.
Monday at 8. We'll be back together. Taryn will work on the order. Get ready.
Again.
Yeah.
Can I be stopped?
Hey, Taryn, I niced you with the I gave you the winning spot. Remember this, okay? Remember this.
Yeah.
Turn the favor.
Look at us. Two drafts in a month here, talking about so much Big Brother right now. Join us on Monday night for that. We just, speaking of castaways, we just dropped our preview of the Vati tribe. Check out what these six people are going to be like on this upcoming season of Survivor. Mike Bloom and I have now previewed all three of the tribes. We have listened to all of the interviews that they gave in the preseason. So check out what these six players are going to be all about when Survivor kicks off 2 weeks from tonight. All those episodes are in our Survivor podcast feed at robinswebsite.com. Puya, what a wild ride this week on 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 days.
Rob, we had a one-week gap, and then they gave us, quite frankly, one of the best episodes of the season. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun. We made sure that this was the exact cover photo for this podcast.
Yes.
Because it had to be. Yes, it was so good.
Taryn, this man, Gino, right here, he is cosplaying as Captain Picard.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
It's does he have a robot friend?
He has other friends, but I don't believe any of them are robots. But no, that's just his look. He's not actually a Captain Picard cosplayer. But wild stuff this week on 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 days. Then tomorrow night, I'll be back once again for Joe Millionaire. For richer or poorer, you don't want to miss what's going on with the Joe Milley gang every Thursday with Jenny Autumn.
It's a good time.
Yep. This week on Robin Akiva Need a Podcast, for all you millennials out there, look, you don't want to go on podcasts and have the rest of the panel, make fun of you for saying the wrong things. We learned lots of new words that the younger people are saying, especially if you're a millennial and you're concerned about being chuggy. You're going to want to check out Millennials Bootcamp with Phil T. Part one and the mailbag is now in a separate part. Check that out up on Robin Akiva Need a Podcast this week. We'll also have the weekly wrap up this weekend. Anything from tonight that you thought should have made the show? robinswebsite.com/bestof for the best of this week on Rob as a Podcast. Okay, Taryn, speaking of Big Brother Canada, great new Taryn show this week.
Yes, Poutine Poppy, Anthony Douglas on the podcast with me, The Taryn Show. Great time talking to Anthony. He talked a lot about his hopes and plans for the year.
Oh.
And, you know, what it takes to be a lion and how he is so good at just pumping people up. So make sure you tune in. The legendary Big Brother Canada player, Anthony Douglas. And we'll keep the Big Brother Canada players coming as well as we get into Big Brother Canada season.
Okay.
Ooh.
All right. Check that out. In the Taryn Show podcast feed, of course, look, Big Brother 24 is around the corner. We're talking about the new Big Brother Canada people. Nothing would make us more excited than to talk about when we get to Big Brother 24 about how some more Robin's podcast listeners have made it onto the show. Go to bigbrothercasting.tv/home. Get your videos in. And get the hell in that house and get some people that we want to watch. Okay?
Yes, please.
Please.
Please apply.
Please. Hasn't Melissa been through enough?
Please. I've been through enough.
She's tired of it. Come on.
Sick and tired of it.
Come on. Yeah. What are we doing here? Mm-hmm. All right. And of course, we got the slop coming up tomorrow. Plus, Australian Survivor is something you can watch very easily over on our Patreon. We'll make it very easy for you to watch Big Brother Canada as well. Plus, the Patron 5 for 5 should be another good one coming up this week, all that and more in our Facebook group, our Discord as well. Last night we did our patron orientation, which we posted for all of our new patrons and see how to access everything. Chappelle stopped by. It was a great time last night. If anybody wants to go back and check that out, hit that subscribe button here so you don't miss anything that we have going on for Big Brother Canada coming up. And then make sure you subscribe to Robert's Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, robertswebsite.com/subscribe. And then follow us on social media, Robert's Podcast on Twitter, on TikTok, and at RJP Grams on Instagram. Okay, Melissa, we know Big Brother Canada's around the corner. In the meantime, anything else going on?
No, just Big Brother Canada, and I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, all right. Melissa, great getting the chance to have this mini season and get to hear from you. This was such a treat.
Yes, yes. I always love Big Brother celebrity, even if it makes me mad sometimes. But, you know, I always love the fast pace. And I like, yeah, it's fun because you don't get too bogged down in it and too invested because there's only, you know, 3 weeks of it. So how invested can you be? It's just fun. It's a good distraction. And yeah, it's good to have this time to talk.
Okay. All right, Melissa, great job here in all February long. Puya, what's coming up for you?
Aside from the upcoming Canadian season, obviously, Masked Singer will be coming back the same night Survivor 42 premieres when the Survivor house guests embark on their journey on the island. Masked Singer will be back with season 7. I'll be doing that with Liana Boris, of course. And then Bel Air has started and has been going strong. Chappelle and I have dropped 2 episodes so far over on Post Show Recaps. We're recording episode 3 this week as well. That'll be coming into your feeds in the next couple of days too. So definitely check out for that. And obviously, Rob, you and I will be back talking 90 Day Fiancé once again next week. If anyone wanted any extra information on Big Brother Canada, definitely check out, obviously, the RJP Discord. Also, check out Hamster Watch on Twitter for some extra instructions if you're trying to look for other ways of, you know, getting your access there. And let's just get excited. This season is behind us. We don't need to talk about this anymore. We're pretty much done. On to better things.
Okay. All right, Puya, great job once again. Thank you. Then Taryn, for you, the end of a sprint more than a true marathon.
Yes, we got through the sprint. We're exhausted, but we made it through. Make sure you come and find me over on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I'll be watching the Big Brother Canada episodes with all of you live, just like I did for Celebrity. Should be a little more fun. So that'll be a good time. As Puya mentioned, if you need help, come over to the Twitch channel. I'll probably be doing some kind of Big Brother Canada stream at some point to help out anybody that needs help watching the show. You can also find me on Twitter at @ArmstrongTaryn. I'll tweet out something that should help as well. The Taryn Show, Raised by Wolves. Find me on YouTube talking about books and stuff. That's about what I've got for you. So thank you all so much for joining me all season long.
Yeah, thank you, Taryn. Another round of incredible coverage of a season of Big Brother in the books. Kudos to you. Perfect attendance on the live feeds once again. Your services to the Big Brother community goes on and on and on. Incredible.
Thank you.
Thank you also to our audience who stuck with us. 4,000 people were here tonight watching our coverage of the recap to maybe not anybody's favorite season of reality TV. So thanks for the support. We really appreciate you coming in, night out to hang out with us and talk about and sometimes commiserate about these seasons of Big Brother. So thank you all for hanging out with us. On to bigger and better things with Canada. 1 week from tonight. Survivor, 2 weeks from tonight. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.